Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. My name is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and as the Lord has it, He has us here tonight to get into a very, very powerful word tonight. I mean, this is very awesome. I'd like to ask you to find three passages of Scripture that we're going to deal with, and while you're doing that, of course, I'm going to read the description of the lesson and then go in prayer. Let's put our food on the table. I'd like to ask you to find Matthew chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, and Acts chapter 7. Just find those three passages of Scripture, and while you're doing that, I'm going to read, as is the custom, I'm going to read the description of the lesson. You know, many people claim to speak for God. Many claim to know His word. One of the many, many cliches that you normally hear are, I read my Bible and I know what God's word says. And then there's also, I pray every day and I talk to God every day. That's just what these are, cliches. You'd be surprised at just how many don't know God. They may know about Him, but not know Him. This was a problem that the religious leaders of Scripture had with Jesus. They even asked Him, by what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority to do these things? They asked that in Mark chapter 11, verse 28, concerning the temple and certain things. Then Jesus said in verse 29, I will ask you one question, and you answer me. And then I will tell you, by what authority I do these things. In verse 30, he asks, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me. Scripture then says in verse 33 that they said, answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. And Jesus said to them, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. See, it is very important to know what the Word of God says about a subject before you take any stand against something that is said. See, God sends leaders to feed sheep and to help up-and-coming ministers to get into the place in which God has for them. The problem is sometimes that those that were never taught the truth hinder those that God is trying to elevate, and then seasons are missed. These men were afraid to answer what Jesus asked them because of the outcome that may have been as stated in verse 31 and 32. God is saying that if you don't study God's word, you won't know when it's been twisted. Grab your Bibles and pens and papers, and let's delve into the word of God and feast. Now let's read Matthew 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and then let's go into prayer. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had finished 40 days, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's what he said. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, asking you to minister to us, asking you to feed us. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen us and keep us before you in Jesus' name. We need you, Father. We definitely need you. We need you to feed us. We need you to empower us. We need you, Lord, to bring us where you want us to be. We need you, Father. We just need you. I'm asking that you make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Give me a spiritual understanding of your word. Give us all a spiritual understanding of your word. And give us a receiving spirit. And while you're using this ministry to feed your sheep, I'm asking, Father, that you feed those of us in the ministry also. None of us are on your level. Oh, Lord. Some of us are going on a fast tomorrow and preparing tonight for it. And the enemy has already put his hand in the midst of the fast. He's already trying to block stuff. He's already trying to mess us up. Some of us have not even gotten over past issues, and we still handle new things the old way, and we can't do that. So we need instruction. We need direction. We need strength from on high. Talk to us. Minister to us. Keep us before you. We love you. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Now I'd like to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 6, and I'm going to read that part out of the Living Bible, very powerful scripture, and we're also going to read Acts chapter 7, don't forget that. But right now, Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, and I read on this wise, Stephen, the man so full of faith and the Holy Spirit's power, did spectacular miracles among the people. But one day some of the men from the Jewish cult of the freedmen started an argument with him, and they were soon joined by Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria in Egypt, and the Turkish provinces of Cilicia and Asia. But none of them were able to stand against Stephen's wisdom and spirit. So they brought in some men to lie about him, claiming they had heard Stephen curse Moses and even God. This accusation roused the crowds to fury against Stephen, and the Jewish leaders arrested him and brought him before the council. The lying witnesses testified again that Stephen was constantly speaking against the temple and against the laws of Moses. They declared, "We have heard him say that this fellow, Jesus of Nazareth, will destroy the temple and throw out all of Moses' laws." At this point, everyone in the council chamber saw Stephen's face become as radiant as an angel's. Now, if you notice chapter 7, we're going to skip over verses 1 through verse 53. It's good to read that on your own time about the way God really used Stephen to speak to these people. But I'm going to pick up on 53. And the Lord said to read it out of the King James Version, okay? Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 54, actually. Yeah, 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Father, again, we ask that you bless this food that we are about to receive. Let it be strong and nourishment to our spirit, as natural food would be to our body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we delve into Scripture and read certain parts of Scripture, the Lord blesses us to begin to understand the importance of knowing what the Word says and understanding the Word. There's a lot of people who are in ministry, who are in the pulpit, who come into the pulpit, who even go visit other ministries, who travel to other ministries, and they claim to be speaking a word from the Lord. And a lot of times they're off. A lot of times they're wrong. The sad part is when the people that are being fed don't know or understand that what the person that's doing the speaking is saying is wrong. It's very important that we study the Word of God. It's very important that we follow what God say and study His Word so that we do learn what the Word of God says, what the Word of God means. In this Matthew chapter 4, in the Greek language, well, actually in the English, it says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In the Greek text, he actually says, since you be the Son of God. And the reason why is because Satan knew who Jesus was. He knew this wasn't Joseph's son. He knew this. He knew that this was God's son. And what he did is try to mock the mission that Jesus was on. A lot of us, Satan has tried to mock our mission. God has anointed us in some ways, and Satan tried to get us puffed up with pride so that way we can never be humble and used by God, but rather be prideful and used by the enemy. There's nothing worse than when Satan exploits your gifts. There's nothing worse when God has called you into the office of prophet, which in the office of prophet or prophetess, they must have at least three of the revelation gifts, plus the gift of prophecy and the gift of discerning the spirit. But what the enemy will do was will make a prophet or a prophetess think that their whole gift is built on being able to prophesy, and a lot of times it can end up being a prophet lie. It is very important to understand that we must study the Word of God. Some might ask, well, why did he read Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15? The reason why is because the Lord said that scripture would show just how powerful the Word of God is. It says in the Living Bible again in chapter 6, verse 9, but one day some of the men from the Jewish cult of the freedmen started an argument with him, and they were soon joined by Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, and Egypt, and the Turkish provinces of Cilicia and Osia. But none of them were able to stand against Stephen's wisdom and spirit. See, Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. If you remember in the beginning of chapter 6, the disciples said to the brethren in verse 3, now look around among yourselves, dear brothers, and select 7 men wise and full of the Holy Spirit who are well thought of by everyone, and we will put them in charge of this business. That was in the business of dispensing things for people's needs, going into the storehouse and getting whatever someone needed and giving it to them and meeting their needs. And the 7 men were Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And let me see, Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, who was a Jew. That was the 6, well, it says select 7 men, But that were, let me see, the host of the elected the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. Yes, that's seven. So they were chosen, and they were the first deacons. Now, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, when God used him to speak and to give this dissertation, to give a record of what God has done for these ungrateful people that were standing there challenging the very word of God, the word brought condemnation. See, you got to understand something. Whenever the word of God is put forth and presented, and it falls upon ears, either there's going to be two reactions. Either a person is going to believe or they're going to disbelieve. Those are the only two reactions that are going to be. And as a result, there's going to be some kind of response, some kind of outward showing. If they believe, then there's going to be outward proof of a changed spirit, which is internal. But outwardly, you're going to see the change because of the character, because of how they present themselves, because of how a person walks and talks and dresses and acts and feels and so forth. All this is going to be demonstrated outwardly. But if a person don't believe, then inwardly they're going to go through so much turmoil and torture and attack, and they're going to be bugging out. And they're not going to have a pleasant spirit. They're not going to treat people nice. They're not going to do this. They're end up cussing. They're end up fussing. They're end up wanting to fight and argue. And one thing the devil wants people to do, if you notice here where it says in Acts chapter 6, and it mentions verse 9, but one day some of the men from the Jewish cult of the freedmen started an argument with him, and they were soon joined. One thing you got to understand about demons is they love to congregate. You know, there are people that don't even talk to each other, that's not cool with each other, they're not tight, they're not friends, they're nothing. But when it comes to coming against you, there are people that would join together, and some of them don't even know you and will come against you, all because of what God uses you to say, all because of how God uses you, period. And the devil has no problem with folk congregating if they're going against the man or the woman of God. But when it comes to a man and a woman of God, or two men of God or two women of God, when it comes to Christian congregating and gathering, the enemy wants to separate them. Why? Because the devil does some of his best work when he has us isolated. Can join two people together, and the devil will separate them, and the devil will put someone else in their path to cause them to go link with them because they know they need fellowship. But it's just that when the enemy said, come over here, and God was quietly saying, stay here, they heard the louder voice because of the lack of discernment. Oh, glory, the lack of it, the lack of discernment. When the enemy was going against Jesus and using scripture, there's a lot of people speaking of another cliche, another saying. There's a lot of people that say, well, the devil can preach too. In the dictionary, the word preach means to proclaim something. It means to tell something. It means to declare something. So anyone can do that. But the enemy of God cannot preach the truth. He can't preach the truth. If you turn quickly or jot this down to John chapter 8, and if you notice something Jesus said to these Jews, chapter 8 and 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So when the devil, even when the devil is using scripture, he twists it. But if a person doesn't study the word and know what the word says, then you're not going to know when the enemy is twisting it. Watch this. A person that's living a foul lifestyle, they could even read the word to you. They could read the word to you as it's written, and you will say, you will even be in your Bible and say, wow, what they're reading is true. But then you have to check their motives. Why are they reading this to you? What is their ultimate goal? I saw Paula White come to New Haven, Connecticut. She was outside preaching. This was back in 2005, and she read Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestled with the angel, and Paula White said, when she got to the part where the angel hit Jacob in the hip and Jacob was limping, Paula White said, God want us to be broke. She didn't say broken. She said broke. And she said, I gave, now she went that way. Now, there was a prophet standing with me, and I said, brother, watch how she get into the money thing. What does she do? And she said she had $250 left to her name, and she gave it to the ministry. She just said the ministry. She didn't say which one. She said to the ministry, and in about 7 days or 2 weeks or whatever she said that she got $25,000 back. And, you know, the people out there, when they heard that and they're looking at her, she's on TVN, she's on this channel, that channel. So they're looking at her, and they said, wow. And she was like, and then I did it again, and I got another check some days later. And she said, what God wants y'all to do is to give $1,000 offering right now. And if you don't have it, write the check by faith. She said, and if you don't have that kind of faith, look at the person next to you, and if they're dressed nice, then tell them to give you the $1,000 and you give it back to them in the next life. Now, those of you who study scripture, you know goodness well that that's not true. You know she was wrong for doing that, those that study the word. Now, there's people that don't study the word, and they just don't know. They just don't know. Jesus, high glory, he was the word of God. So when the enemy tried to twist scripture and throw it at Jesus, Jesus said, yeah, but it is again written, and Jesus told the truth. It's because he was the word. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the word encased in flesh. They handed him the book of Isaiah in the temple, and he read it. And then he said, this day this is being fulfilled. The scripture was talking about him. He's the word of God manifest in the flesh. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Being that Jesus is the word, the only way you get to the Father is you have to understand his word. You have to read his word. In John chapter 17, verse 17, I know people call it the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus told the disciples, pray this way, our Father, blah, blah, blah. But that is not how Jesus prayed. You'll never read where Jesus prayed that way. He was telling them the concept. He was setting up the model for them. Our Father, which art in heaven, that meant something. That meant us Christians, our Father, he lives in heaven, and his name is holy. So there's many ways that you can say our Father, which art in heaven. So, but the real Lord's Prayer, where we actually can read Jesus praying and what he prayed, is John chapter 17. And one of the things Jesus said in John 17, in verse 17 as well, John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is God's truth. That's why it's important to know what the word says. Because if you don't know what the word says, you're going to be stuck. You will fall for anything someone say to you if you don't know what the word says. There's ministers on national TV that when they start telling you what the Bible says, they don't even have a Bible open. I'm going to say this. Some of you might not like it, but I got to tell the truth. Joe Osteen will wave a Bible and say a few things over it, but then you don't see him open it up and teach from it. Actually, if you watch a transcript or read a transcript of when he was on Larry King, or if you watch the clip on YouTube when he was on Larry King, Joe Osteen clearly says that he's not a pastor. He's a motivational speaker. And when Larry was asking him if certain groups of people would go to hell, and one of them was atheist, Joe said, "Larry, it's not for me to say who would go to heaven or who would go to hell." Well, if that's not the case, then what is he feeding the congregation? Do you understand? Self-help is just that, selfish help. In John chapter 15, verse 5, let's notice what Jesus Christ said, Jesus our Lord. Let's notice what he said. John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So you can't help yourself, brethren. We can't help ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves. There's people that say, "I will give my life to the Lord. When I give my life to him, I'm going to do it after I get myself together." And some die on that word because you can't get yourself together. The God of heaven, he has to get us together. He has to cleanse us. In John 15:3, Jesus said to the disciples, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." So the word of God cleanses us. Let's go deeper. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus said to him in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That word water there, though the Greek word means water, it was symbolic. He's talking about unless a man is born of the word of God, because the word is what cleans you. The word is what reveals us to ourselves. The word is the mirror that shows us ourselves. Oh, glory. The word is the oil, the Holy Ghost. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. But the word is the washing. It's the water. And the Holy Spirit, he is the oil. He seals us. He anoints us. See, the word of God is what informs us about God and convinces us that we need God and tells us all about God and tells us how to get to God. Watch this. And the Holy Ghost, who is God, he brings us unto him after convincing us through his word. Glory to God. After he convinces us, he brings us unto himself through his word. His word is the cleansing agent. His word is the seed that has to be planted in our spirits, and it takes root and grow. God gives the increase. He gives the increase. So it's all right. It's good that you read your Bible. Praise God. It's good that you pray, or at least that you say you have to God, because theologically, prayer is a two-sided conversation with God. A lot of people want to talk to God, and then they get up in Jesus' name, amen, and they get up and walk away. But no, stay there and let God respond. Let him respond. That's prayer, because it's a conversation. You're talking to God. He listens. Then he responds. You listen. That's prayer. And God is always going to speak according to his word. Because there's sometimes that we'll hear God, or we'll hear a word in our spirit, or if we're not filled with the Holy Ghost and we don't know what the will of God is, we can look it up in a concordance or something, the subject, and we could go into the word and find out what God said or did about that subject. Okay, some people say, "Well, God wants us to be rich," and what they do is they treat people better who have a lot of money. James chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My brethren, have not the faith." You know what? I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible, James chapter 2, verse 1. Dear brothers, how can you claim that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if you show favoritism to rich people and look down on poor people? If a man comes into your church dressed in expensive clothes and with valuable gold rings on his fingers, and at the same moment another man comes in who is poor and dressed in threadbare clothes, and you make a lot of fuss over the rich man and give him the best seat in the house and say to the poor man, you can stand over there if you like, or else sit on the floor, well, judging a man by his wealth shows that you are guided by wrong motives. Then Brother James wrote, listen to me, brothers. God has chosen poor people to be rich in faith, and the kingdom of heaven is theirs, for that is a gift God has promised to all those who love him. And yet, of the two strangers, you have despised the poor man. Don't you realize that it is usually the rich men who pick on you and drag you into court, and all too often they are the ones who laugh at Jesus Christ, whose noble name you hear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you truly obey our Lord's command. You must love and help your neighbors just as much as you love and take care of yourself. But you are breaking the law of our Lord, of our Lord's, when you favor the rich and fawn over them. It is sin. It's important to know what the Word of God says, because the Word of God tells us how to act. The Word of God tells us how to carry ourselves. And if you don't know what the word says when someone is preaching and they're twisting it, then you're not going to know it's even being twisted. Do you know when you say amen, that means I agree? Amen also means let it be as was threatened or said or promised. It also means let it be so. So when you say amen, you're agreeing to something. And if you don't know whether it's the will or the word of God or not, then you don't know what you're agreeing with. There are some people that prophesied to you, and you agree. You say amen. You say amen. I'm sorry, being a teacher of the word and other teachers out there that are listening to this broadcast, y'all will understand this. Sometimes God allow us to be deep, because when a minister come in the pulpit and they say, let the church say amen, if we're there visiting or something, a lot of us don't say nothing because they ain't said nothing for us to agree to. I'm not just going to agree to thin air. And you shouldn't either. Agree to the word of God. But you got to study it. You got to study. Oh, glory. You got to study the word to know what it says. You have to. That's the only way to do it. The title of this, well, the thought that God gave me for this lesson was, those you think know God may not. And the title was, if you don't study God's word, you won't know when it's been twisted. And this is part one. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, thanking you for this time of fellowship and gathering. We thank you for allowing us to chew on your word and to feast on it. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for revealing your truth to us. Ah, glory. Thank you for revealing your truth to us. We ask that you allow us to rest tonight under the anointing. Allow the women of God to get a queen's rest. Minister to your people. Talk to your people. Help your people. Stand by your people. Protect your people. Please, Father, please expose the witch and the warlock. Free your people from those that are teaching false doctrine. Free your people from those that they're congregating with that's not following you, so that they may be free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Please be with us tomorrow. Those of us that are starting our fast tomorrow, strengthen us tonight and prepare us for the fast and be with us all the way on it. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Brethren, you can let the Lord use you to sow into the ministry, to be a blessing to the ministry as we go forth doing the work of the Lord and ministering to those that are homeless and sleeping on benches. And it's still cold outside, so we like to go to Dollar Tree and purchase some gloves and hats and scarves for people that are sleeping outside. You can look me up on Facebook, Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr. That's A-L-L-E-N, Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr. Or you can type that name in your search engine and see the ministry's website and allow the Lord to use you to donate a love offering through there. Any amount would be a blessing. Remember, it's to help those that are sleeping on the benches, and also the runaway women that are outside sleeping on the benches and that have run away. They need some sanitary things to keep themselves clean, and some clothes or some underclothes. And, you know, woman has to look good so that she can feel good about herself. Just let the Lord use you. You can call for prayer right now, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. You can call for prayer, and God will use me to pray with you right now. Okay? We love you in the name of Jesus. Stay encouraged. And remember, if you don't study God's word, you won't know when it's been twisted. This is part one. God bless you.